And now please join me in prayer. Holy and gracious God, your love is everlasting. Your goodness is eternal. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your words of mercy in this story. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Confirmands, those of you who are here, this sermon is for you. So just to fill in the rest of you, in confirmation, we are trying to figure out what to do with the Bible. We ask questions like, is the Bible true? And if the Bible's true, in what way is it true? Is it factually true? Which means we might need to believe in a literal seven-day creation. Or is it more of a relational truth about God's relationship to us and all creation as the author and giver of life? We also ask questions like, if the Bible comes from God, and the Bible commands stoning as a punishment, is that such a good idea? What do we do with violence in the Bible? Do we take a pair of scissors to the Bible and cut out the portions we don't like? Just like now, who was the guy we learned about in confirmation 2 weeks ago?
Sorry, I'm putting you guys on the spot. His name was Marcion of Sinope. But the other person you might want to mention is Thomas Jefferson. He did the same thing. He took the scissors to the Bible and cut out what he didn't like. So through the years, people have done that. They've cut out the bits of the Bible they don't like. So what are we to do with this morning's readings? There's plenty of judgment and violence in them. Well, because we are Lutherans, one of the lessons that I hope that you all learn in confirmation is that there are distinctive Lutheran approaches, or Lutheran lenses, shall we say. I like to think of it as we put on our Lutheran glasses when we read the Bible. And one of these lenses that we talk about is called law and gospel. Lutherans confess that God's word comes to us as both law and gospel, revealing both judgment and mercy. Now, theologians have written volumes on law and gospel, but at the risk of oversimplification, I'm going to boil it down to two words: bad news and good news. Now, there's a couple things I want you to remember about bad news. Bad news, a.k.a. the law, is not the same as the Old Testament. That's a mistake that lots of people have made, including our friends Marcion and Thomas Jefferson, too. There's plenty of good news in the Bible, and there's lots of grace. Point number two I want you to remember about bad news is that bad news is necessary. Bad news reveals the truth and prepares us to hear the good news. And number three, and this is interesting, sometimes, a lot of the times actually, bad news and good news come together in the same package. So let's start off with the bad news. A man plants his vineyard, leaves, and entrusts his property to tenants. Now, their job is to be stewards, to take care of the vineyards on behalf of the owner. Harvest time comes, and the owner sends folks to collect his produce, and the parents say, "No. We don't want to." And they abuse his messengers. They beat one, kill another, stone one, Again and again, the owner sends more messengers, and they too are killed. Lastly, the owner sends his son, his heir. And when the tenants hear that the son is coming, they conspire, plotting to take over the property. They murder the son. So why does Jesus tell this bad news story? Well, it might help to know that he's telling this story to a particular audience, to some religious folks who think of themselves as the good guys. Now keep in mind that the point of a parable, quite often, is to provoke a response that reveals a truth, often a truth about ourselves. And when Jesus asks his good guy audience what the vineyard will do, what's their answer? Ah, he will kill those murderous wretches and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time. Well, their response to the violence in the story is more violence. It's judgment. It's bad news. So Jesus continues. He brings up a passage from Scripture about some wrong-headed builders who reject a stone that God later makes the cornerstone. And when our good guy audience hears this, they realize that Jesus is talking about them and their rejection of him. And then if he's talking about them, then they are the story's tenants. And their own words of judgment fall right back on themselves. And Jesus reinforces that when he says, well, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to someone else. Okay, confirmands, are you ready for some more good, are you ready for some good news? Not so sure. Well, I'm sorry, there's more bad news to come. This is really bad news, sorry. So wrongly, some Christians decided that the way to read this passage was that God had rejected the Jewish people in favor of Christians. They used this parable and Jesus' words about the kingdom being taken away as justification for Christianity's superiority. In this reading, the Christians become the good guys and the Jews become the bad guys. But tragically, this way of reading the Bible, of reading the text, has led to horrendous crimes against the Jewish people for centuries, including the murder of over 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. The church can't evade responsibility for this. You know, we could be those murderous tenants if Jesus told that parable today. Genocide, violence, and hatred are not the fruits of the kingdom of God. God expects justice from humanity, not bloodshed, righteousness, not the cries of the innocent. But we meet violence with violence, calling judgment upon ourselves. And honestly, we only have to, listen to the news every morning, and once again, violence upon violence. Yet, this bad news is necessary because it reveals truths about ourselves and humanity that we would rather not see. And unless we know ourselves and accept not just the good, but also the evil that we can do, we will never be free. Until we acknowledge the wrongs that we have done, both individually and corporately, we will not be able to truly hear God's words of mercy and forgiveness that transform us and enables us to move forward and make amends. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Bad news prepares us to hear the good news of God's mercy and grace. Are we ready for some good news now? Well, you probably heard it in the children's message. This story is about the God who never gives up on us. Again and again, the owner sends messengers to the vineyards, hoping that the tenants to whom he has entrusted its stewardship will produce good fruit. And again, these tenants fail him. Yet the owner never gives up. And while the world might want to call judgment on these tenants, while we might think it justified that those murderous wretches were dead, the owner does none of this. Instead, the owner sends his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might have life through him. Law and gospel, judgment and mercy, bad news that reveals the truth and good news that reveals grace. These are the Lutheran lenses that help us read the Bible, including those problematic, not so pretty parts of the Bible. Oh, and one last thing, confirmands, and also all of you. Lutherans confess that the Bible is more than a book just written thousands of years ago. We believe that it continues to convey God's word to us. Law and gospel, judgment and grace, bad news and good news. The story of God's love isn't over, and we are all a part of it. God continues to bless us and entrust us with our lives and the resources of this planet. And our job is to be stewards. Now that we've heard the bad news and the good news, the law and the gospel, what kind of stewards will we be? Amen. We sing hymn 494, "For the Bread Which You Have Broken."